All right, so are you ready to go deep? We've got stacks of articles and op-eds and even some straight-up philosophy this time.
Yeah, it seems like someone's really trying to get to the bottom of
Yeah, I
TikTok.
do.
Yeah, exactly. What is this thing beyond just, dancing teenagers and
Right. Is it shaping culture or is it just reflecting it? I mean, are we all just
products of the algorithm.
products of the algorithm? So
Exactly.
that's the mission.
And we've got some heavy hitters to help us figure this all out.
Oh, yeah. We're talking Buddha, Kant,
Eight, nine.
Marx even.
Yeah, a real philosophical all-star team to tackle this this social media giant.
It's gonna be fun. Okay, so before we get all, existential and everything, let's make sure everyone's on the same page.
Sure.
What is TikTok really at its core? I mean, I know we all see those videos popping up everywhere, but
Yeah. Well, at its heart, it's a social media platform for sharing short videos.
yeah.
Most are set to music or sound effects.
Yeah.
And what makes it unique is its super powerful algorithm. It personalizes your feed based on what you watch and how you interact,
Right.
which is why it's so addictive, right? It's
Yeah.
like it knows you better than you know yourself.
Sometimes it's a little creepy how well it predicts what I'm gonna like,
Right.
but it's not just for teens anymore, right? I mean, I see everyone on
Oh,
there.
yeah. Businesses, politicians, my grandma even.
Right. It's become this cultural phenomenon. It's not just an app. It's like,
It's a force to be reckoned with.
yeah, exactly. And that's where the philosophy comes in, I think.
Right. Bringing in the big thinkers to help us make sense of it all.
Exactly. Okay, so this idea of impermanence, it's something that Buddha talked a lot about, and it seems super relevant to TikTok. These short videos, they grab your attention for a few seconds, and then poof, they're gone.
It's interesting. You're right.
What do you think about that?
Well, Buddha believed that everything in life is in constant flux. Nothing lasts forever.
Right.
And TikTok videos really embody that idea. They're fleeting, they're temporary, they're always being replaced by something new.
So, can we find meaning in something that's designed to disappear? Like, is it even possible to have genuine connections when everything is so temporary?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's less about the content itself and more about how we engage with it. Maybe it's about being present in the moment,
Hmm.
enjoying the experience without getting too attached to it.
Sort of like enjoying a beautiful sunset.
Yeah?
It's not going to last forever, but.
But that doesn't make it any less beautiful.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So TikTok's not necessarily bad because it's built on impermanence, but we need to be aware of that and use it accordingly.
Be a conscious user, right?
Exactly. Which brings us to another philosophical heavyweight, Immanuel Kant.
Oh, yeah.
He had this idea called the categorical imperative.
Big word.
Big word. Basically, it means you should only act in a way that you'd want everyone else to act.
Right. Universal principles. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that apply to TikTok? Like, are we only supposed to create videos that we'd want everyone else to make?
I don't think it's necessarily about the content itself,
Yeah.
but it's about the intention behind our actions. Like, are we using TikTok in a way that aligns with our values? Are we contributing to a positive or negative culture on the platform?
Instead of just, mindlessly scrolling and liking whatever pops up. So
Yeah.
it's like every comment, every video we create, it's all a tiny vote for the kind of TikTok culture we want.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got mindful scrolling, being aware of impermanence, checking our intentions with Kant's little test.
Right.
What about Einstein? I feel like he'd have some thoughts on all this.
Yeah, he was brilliant, of
He
course,
was.
but he was also concerned about technology and its effects on us.
He was worried that technology might make us,
Less human. Less connected.
yeah, less able to think for ourselves.
Right.
And TikTok, I mean, it's full of amazing creative content. You
Yeah.
remember that trend with the stop motion animation? People were telling these really complex stories in just a few seconds.
Amazing, right.
Yeah.
So creative. There's also this constant stream of short attention-grabbing content.
Right. And that could be making it harder to focus on those bigger, more complex issues.
To have those real meaningful conversations.
So it's like a paradox, right? TikTok can fuel creativity, but also maybe hinder deep thought.
At the same time.
Right. Okay. So much to consider. And we're just getting started. We haven't even touched on Marx yet.
Oh, yeah. Marx is going to blow your mind.
All right. Well, stay tuned, everyone, because in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to tackle Marx and Nietzsche and even Hannah Arendt.
Buckle up.
It's going to be a wild ride. Okay, so we just left off talking about Einstein and this whole paradox of TikTok fueling creativity, but also maybe making it harder to, really think deeply about things.
Right.
Where does Karl Marx fit into all of this?
Well, Marx was all about, you know, power dynamics and who's really benefiting from the system.
Okay.
And his ideas about labor and capital, they actually apply really well to TikTok.
Really? Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So Marx believed that under capitalism, workers are alienated from the fruits of their labor. Like, they create all this value. But the owners of capital, they're the ones who really profit.
Okay. I mean, I get that.
And so on TikTok, you have millions of users creating all this content, all this data.
Yeah.
And TikTok, the platform itself, they're the ones monetizing it.
So you're saying, like, every time we scroll, every time we like a video, we're basically working for TikTok.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Your attention, it's a commodity. And TikTok is selling it to advertisers.
That's kind of a mind-blowing thought.
Right. It makes you rethink those viral dance challenges.
Yeah, it's not just fun and games. It's like...
That's labor.
It's labor. Whoa. Okay, so TikTok is a potential distraction, a site of maybe economic exploitation. What would Nietzsche say about all of this?
Oh, Nietzsche would love this conversation.
I bet he would.
He was all about challenging conventional thinking, especially when it came to power.
Right. Power, control, will to power. Wasn't that his big thing?
Exactly. That driving force within us. To create, to overcome, to become the best versions of ourselves.
Okay, so how does that apply to TikTok? Is making a funny video like a manifestation of the will to power?
It could be. It depends on the intention, right? Like, are you using TikTok to express your unique voice, to challenge the status quo?
Or are you just trying to fit in, to go viral, to get those likes?
Exactly. Nietzsche was really wary of what he called herd mentality.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Like, blindly following the crowd, losing your individuality.
Right. And social media can definitely amplify that tendency.
So how do we avoid that trap? How do we use TikTok, you know, powerfully without just becoming part of the herd?
It comes down to being intentional and self-aware. Asking yourself, am I using this platform to become more myself or more like everyone else?
Okay. So we need to be mindful of impermanence. Check our intentions, be aware of how our attention is being used, and make sure we're not just conforming to the algorithm. My brain is already full.
And we're not done yet. We still have to talk about Jung.
Oh, right. Jung and those archetypes.
Exactly. He'd be all over TikTok. I mean, it's a gold mine of archetypal imagery.
Okay, remind me. What are archetypes again? It's been a while.
They're like these universal patterns of human behavior.
Yeah.
That we see in myths and stories across cultures.
Like the hero, the villain, the wise old man, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And we see those same patterns playing out on TikTok all the time.
Like how?
Well, think about those transformation videos. People using makeup or special effects to dramatically change their appearance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like they're embodying different archetypes, exploring different facets of themselves.
It's like a modern day version of those ancient rituals with masks and costumes and...
Exactly. And for Jung, that kind of exploration could be really valuable. But there's also a danger of getting lost in those masks, of mistaking the persona for the true self.
So it's like a tightrope walk, you know, exploring different roles, but not losing yourself in them.
Right. And I think that's a challenge we all face, not just on TikTok, but in life in general.
So much to think about. Okay, we've covered Buddha, Kant, Marx, Nietzsche, Jung. Who's next? Who else can help us understand this crazy world of TikTok?
Well, I think it's time to bring in Hannah Arendt.
Hi, Arendt. The philosopher who studied totalitarianism. What does she have to say about TikTok?
You might be surprised, but her work on the nature of evil, it's actually incredibly relevant here.
Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Lay it on me.
So Arendt, she coined this term, the banality of evil.
I've heard of that.
She was arguing that evil often doesn't come from some, you know, mustache-twirling villain.
Right.
But from thoughtlessness, from a lack of critical engagement with the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so easy to get sucked into that endless scroll on TikTok.
Yeah.
Just consuming without really thinking about the bigger picture.
So you're saying like TikTok could be contributing to this kind of like cultural sleepwalking.
It's a possibility Arendt would be worried about how these platforms might be making us more passive, less likely to question, less likely to engage in meaningful action.
That's a little disturbing, honestly. I mean, I love TikTok, but I don't want to become a mindless zombie.
No, of course not. And I'm not saying TikTok is evil or anything.
Right.
It's about being aware of the potential pitfalls.
Right.
And using this awareness to make more conscious choices.
So how do we do that? How do we enjoy TikTok without, you know, losing ourselves in the process?
That's the million-dollar question. And that's what we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've gone from Buddha to Nietzsche to Hannah Arendt. And my head is spinning a little bit.
Yeah, it's a lot to process, right? All these different perspectives on TikTok, from impermanence to the will to power to the banality of evil. It's heavy stuff.
It is. So where do we go from here? What do we do with all these insights?
Well, I think the first step is just to be aware, you know?
Yeah.
To recognize that TikTok, like any tool, can be used for good or for ill.
Right, right. It's not inherently good or bad. It's how we use it.
Exactly. It could be a source of creativity, connection, even self-discovery.
Yeah.
But it can also be a black hole of distraction and conformity and wasted potential.
So it's all about making conscious choices, right? About not just letting the algorithm dictate what we watch and how we interact.
Exactly. We actually have a lot more agency than we realize. Remember Buddha's teachings on mindfulness. Even though TikTok is built on impermanence, we can still choose to engage with it in a mindful way, to appreciate the beauty and the humor without getting lost in the endless scroll.
And what about Nietzsche's will to power? How can we apply that to our TikTok experience?
Well, I think it's about using TikTok as a platform for self-expression, for pushing boundaries and creating something truly unique. You know, don't be afraid to challenge the norms, to experiment, to be yourself, even if it means going against the grain of what's popular.
So it's not about rejecting TikTok altogether. It's about using it in a way that aligns with our values and our aspirations. It's about taking control of our experience rather than letting it control us.
Exactly. And that brings us back to Marx's critique of capitalism. We can be aware of how our attention is being monetized, how the platform is designed to keep us scrolling. But we can also choose to be more discerning about what we consume and what we create, to support creators who inspire us, to engage in conversations that matter.
So it's about being a conscious consumer and a conscious creator, not just passively absorbing whatever the algorithm throws at us.
Precisely. And let's not forget about Jung's insights on archetypes. We can use those archetypal expressions on TikTok as a way to explore different facets of ourselves, to play with identity and self-presentation. But we also need to be mindful of the masks we're wearing to make sure we're not losing touch with our authentic selves.
It's like this delicate dance, you know, between self-expression and self-awareness, between playing with different roles and staying grounded in who we truly are.
Yes, and that's where Hannah Arendt's warning becomes so crucial. We need to be vigilant about the potential for mindless distraction, to make sure we're not just passively consuming content, but actively engaging with the world around us.
So how do we do that? How do we stay engaged and informed while still enjoying the entertainment value of TikTok?
It's about setting boundaries, maybe limiting our screen time, being more intentional about when and how we use the app. And it's about diversifying our media diet, not just getting all our information from TikTok, but seeking out other sources, engaging in conversations with people who have different perspectives.
So it's like we're building a mental toolkit for navigating the world of TikTok. We've got Buddha's mindfulness, Nietzsche's will to power, Marx's awareness of economic forces, Jung's understanding of archetypes, and Arendt's call to action. That's a pretty powerful toolkit.
It is. And I think the most important tool of all is our own critical thinking skills. The ability to question, to analyze, to discern truth from falsehood. That's what will ultimately empower us to use TikTok and any other platform in a way that benefits us and the world around us.
So what's the final message for our listeners, the one who sent in all those sources and prompted this whole deep dive?
The choice is ultimately up to us. By being aware, being intentional, and engaging our critical thinking skills, we can harness the power of TikTok for creativity, connection, and self-discovery. And who knows, maybe we can even use it to make the world a slightly better place.
I love that message. It's empowering and it's hopeful. It reminds us that we're not just passive consumers, but active participants in shaping the digital landscape.
And it leaves us with a final thought. We've talked a lot about individual choices, about how to use TikTok wisely, but what about the bigger picture? Can TikTok itself be a force for good in the world? Can it be reformed or reimagined in a way that promotes critical thinking, creativity, and genuine connection? That's a question worth pondering and maybe even acting upon.
That's a deep dive in itself. And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our journey for today. Thanks for joining us on this philosophical adventure through the world of TikTok.
It's been my pleasure. Until next time, keep thinking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.